Hello, this is a quick podcast on Christine Lee's reflection on her internship as part of the Horizon CDT Our Lives in Data program. I am your host and Christine's question asker, Luke Scarth-Haley. So, Christine, where did you go for your internship and briefly, what did you do?
So I went to KTH in Stockholm in Sweden. There is an interaction design lab where the MRL has done a lot of collaborative work with. And given the specific methodologies that I'd be using in my PhD, my supervisors agreed that it would make sense to send me there for my placements. This lab is sort of where this SOMA design methodology basically came from. So no one could teach it to me better than the mothership, so to speak. So that's where I went.
Okay, just very briefly before I ask you another question, but what is SOMA design exactly?
Yeah, so that's a whole thing, but the extremely fast version for the purposes of this podcast is, so you know how in industry, tech design, like product design, there's current strategies right now. I'm not sure how much you've seen, but a lot of current strategies are things like requirements lists, creating personas, so your imagined users and what they might be like, design documents, things like that. It's very cerebral, very in your head. And that's good, that is useful. But the SOMA aesthetics, which SOMA design, the philosophy that SOMA design comes from, is trying to sort of be a counterpoint to the sort of dualistic philosophy that Western society has been grounded in for ages, meaning the mind is sort of like the pure soul, right? It's what we are, and then the body is just this fleshy meat bag that we move around the world in, but it's not actually part of who we are. And SOMA aesthetics is trying to bring the body back. It's like, no, the body is not just a fleshy meat sack. It is both an instrument that you use to make sense of the world around you, and it is also you. Like, the morphology of your body, the capabilities and incapabilities of your body, your own personal sensitivities, pain tolerances, things like that, that will shape who you are. And SOMA design is sort of an answer to that, of like, if you're going to design products, like if you're going to design tech, you need to bring the body back into the design equation. So a lot of the techniques in practice look like things such as, to start with, designers will do mindfulness meditation in the beginning to sort of sensitize themselves and get back into their body, so to speak. And then actual design work might look like, it's actually physically trying out a prototype or building a prototype as you move through a space or something like that. I don't know if that made any sense, but that's like an extremely fast version.
Yeah, no, that's a great yeah. idea. I mean, I think it sounds like it's almost like a kind of refutation of the kind of mind-body dualism that you get in kind of Cartesian philosophy and so on.
Yes.
It's quite a materialist, not in the consumerist sense, but rather the materialist philosophy of you are your body and you're inherent present in the world, and how your body responds to things is how you respond to things. There's a close connection there in some way.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So I went to mothership to understand that better.
So KTH is like the real sort of source of this kind of design approach.
Yes.
So what lessons did you learn from your internship at KTH, and has it influenced your research in any way?
Yeah, there's actually a whole lot I learned. So just for logistically speaking, I was there in two separate stints, one in the spring and one in the autumn, because from what I am told, during the summer, everyone Fs off, like completely disappears, the whole country. So I went two separate occasions. And the things I learned, they are very personal, but I like to think that they can be applicable to anyone in a position such as mine, where you're a PhD student and it's sort of this preparation for the next step in your life, right? Whether you might be going to industry or staying in academia, or just abandoning society and running away and going into the woods and being a bog witch like I keep thinking about doing. But for me, I thought the lessons I learned were mainly really about the optimal working conditions for me personally. Throughout my PhD, I have been struggling a lot with the sort of more expected paradigms of being a scholar, quote unquote, of like, you sit at a desk, you read a ton, you write a ton. And I sort of understand why that is the way it is in academia, but I am very much a kinesthetic learner and doer. Like, for me, knowledge has to be this way, which is probably why I picked the PhD topic I did, but that's another story.
So, and when you say kinesthetic, is that like embodied?
Embodied, yeah, actually doing a thing to work or learn and things like that. And the thing I learned was that it was very helpful for me to go into a different lab that specializes in a similar thing to the MRL, but takes a different approach, because IXD at KTH is primarily a design lab, from what I understand. It's mainly designers who go there who happen to use tech, which is sort of like the inverse of here, from what I understand. It's mainly computer scientists who collaborate a lot with designers and artists and things like that. So I'm getting sort of the other side of it, and I found that because of this design culture, there is a lot of encouraging of making, doing, building, being very hands-on. And I found that extremely valuable, because until then I thought, I'm just not good at this PhD stuff. I can't do this. Maybe academia is not cut out for me. And now in this placement, I was being shown a different example of how research can be done. So to answer your second question, has it affected my research? Absolutely. I mean, I'm not sure. Well, in terms of what I'll actually say in my thesis, I don't know for sure yet. But in terms of the way I approach research, it's not changed too much, because it has always been a very kinesthetic oriented thing, but it's more changed my mindset of what can be considered valid research. Me building something and then testing it out and seeing how it goes is just as valid as me reading a bunch of peer-reviewed papers and writing a literature review on it. And for the longest time, I had this imposter syndrome of like, I'm bad at reading and writing, so therefore I can't be a researcher. So I think the biggest takeaway for me was, there are multiple paths to success. You just have to sort of figure out what works for you.
Yeah. Well, that sounds really interesting. I mean, it sounds like you've kind of found a way of working as well that's better for you.
Yes.
And also that, it sounds like really that you're actually a good researcher, and that it's primary research that you actually like doing. It's not necessarily the literature and so on, but rather the act of doing, making is the thing that is useful to you and also can help support your work.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's just unfortunate that ultimately what you are submitting is this big old written piece of work. If I could submit, I mean, like, look at this. I said I was gonna write up a blog post or something, and in the end we're actually like doing something else. We're like sitting and talking about this thing and making a podcast. So yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's a good reflection on, apart from the need to write a thesis, we need non-standard output, certainly. But anyway, I think we'll stop there. But it's been really interesting to hear about it.
Thank you. No, thanks for having me.